Okay, perfect. Awesome sauce. Feel like an FBI agent. All right, take this off. I need this for reading. So I want to first and foremost thank Maurice, and thank you for inviting me this evening to speak about cybersecurity. This is usually not a fun topic. I generally just have horror stories, but I also have solutions, so we'll be okay. This is very much an overview. I don't tend to do very technical talks, especially when the topic is overview. And so my goal is certainly to raise the level of awareness where we hear the word cybersecurity and we really don't know what that means. But that when you leave today, you will certainly have an idea of what that means to you in a very personal way. And what are the things that you can do to protect yourself, whether you have a business, whether you have a business at home, or rather just for personal use, your children, your grandchildren, yourself, how to protect yourself and kind of what it looks like from the other side of the the world in terms of people who are trying to get at your data and how much your data actually is worth on the dark web. So for starters, where I need a clicker thingy. Okay. Awesome sauce. All right. So it's just... So my name, my phone number, my email address, my calendar, if you'd like to make an appointment, basic stuff. So, all right, who are we? Who is Bluefields Digital? We say that we are dedicated, we make it our mission to protect your business, that there is, when you have a company, you're focused on doing what it is that you do, growing your company, or you know, making sure that your sales are good, your employees are good. Basically, you're running your business, and we focus on protecting that business because, as you will see as we go through, there's lots of stuff happening out there in terms of that you need protecting for. So we've been hearing this since we now live in the age of terrorism. If you see something, say something. You see that at the airport, you see that if you're on the train, you see that when you travel, or even, you know, you'll hear it on the news, you know, you don't know somebody's building a bomb next door. If you see something, say something. What I say is that when you know something, do something. If you know nothing about cybersecurity and you learn what the threats are to yourself, do something to protect yourself, because in this way we are all very much connected. We're not siloed, although we think we are all connected. How many people have more than two mobile phones? Can I see a show of hands? How many people have more than two mobile phones? More than two. How many devices on average does everyone have? We know we have tablets, cell phones, laptops, computer, right? So sometimes we have 10, right? There's always, right? Sometimes we have multiple devices, and all of those devices are always connected, right? So this is at the dawn of the internet. Remember those AOL disk where everybody had, our mailboxes used to be full with that, right? We put it in and we listen for the sound so that we knew we were online, right? Those were the good old days. You just needed one little firewall and you were good. Nothing else was out there. You didn't have to worry. This is yesterday.
Where we are now is today. We're always connected. We have Facebook, we have LinkedIn, we have Twitter, Snapchat, and all of the things that are being invented today that you'll hear about tomorrow on the news. Whether we're at work, you're at a client site, you're always connected. There's no dialing up. There's no connecting to the internet. You are always connected to the internet. And with that comes a variety of risks. It's where we now hear about cybercrime and cyber terror. And it is very much in the news, especially now with the DNC email hacks. You know, we have a lot that is valuable that is someone's job to steal from us. We are very familiar with hearing about banks being hacked, and we all have had our credit cards replaced, our debit cards replaced. We now have the chips, which isn't 100% either, because the criminals just figured out another way. So they're always 10 steps ahead. So every company, energy and telecom, we've been fortunate. We've been very blessed. In other countries, hackers have managed to shut down power grids. They did that very easily by sending an email to the employees of the power company and directed that email as it was coming from the CEO. And it asked them to open the file. They opened the file. It installed software, and they shut down the power grid. So it's someplace in Eastern Europe. I don't remember offhand. Sorry, but it's doable. It's doable, and it wasn't anything complicated. It was an email. It was just phishing, right? We have transit planning infrastructure. Every time I hear about computers, like Delta's been down for 2 days, I'm suspicious. Now, I don't blame them. I would never come out and announce that it was cyber. I would never do that, because you don't want that level of vulnerability being broadcasted. But just common sense, I'm like, sounds like cybercrime to me. We know about manufacturing, and I'll delve a little bit into that. Retail, we know about Target. Banking, of course, has historically been the sector that has gotten the most. And government public sector, DNC, the IRS, the White House, the OPM, like which government office has not been hacked? That's probably an easier question to answer, because the government, to their credit, the Navy has to defend, last count, 190 breaches per hour, 190 attacks. There are 300,000 attacks on their system annually. You know, hundreds of thousands per month. So they are able to stop 99.9%, but if 100 gets through out of 300,000, it is critical. But that is the level of attack that we're under. If you can see whether it is attacks coming in from Russia, attacks coming in from China, that is really the new front in terms of where we're fighting a war. And there is a lot at stake in terms of certainly information to steal. And specifically for manufacturing, the CIA released a study recently. If you looked at the map, they did a map of the United States, and they looked at small businesses. This was not like attacking large enterprises. And it showed that just from China, the attacks against small businesses that were targeted for aerospace and defense. Because if you can access those small companies that are in aerospace and defense, you can get into the larger aerospace and defense companies. You can use it at the back door. It just looked like one big red map. The only place there wasn't any attacks was in Montana. But if you looked anywhere there was aerospace and defense business and clustered certainly here in Southern California and also on the East Coast, it was just like fireworks going off. Manufacturing specifically is really critical in terms of threats, because cyber criminals look for certain type of files. They look for architectural drawings. They're looking for information that is A, sellable, and also that can compromise our national security. If you think about it, if you had a firm and you manufactured airplane parts, maybe it's just a wing. You know, you have a company and you just have a part of a wing, and I can hack into your system and I can change those dimensions. I can change that measurement somehow. Now you build that part, you ship it on to the next person in the line to assemble that plane. That now goes on to a jet that we're all flying on. So it's the little things. I had a company here in Glendale. The hackers shut down their quality room for ransom. So that's all. That's the fun thing that's happening now. It's all about money, right? So they paid the ransom so that they could get their business back. That's today. When I talk about cybersecurity, I really want it to be very personal, that we see where we fit in and what our roles are. Identity theft is the highest reported consumer crime 15 years in a row, and no sign of decreasing. You know, now you have, you know, LifeLock, who they got hacked to. LifeLock and all of these companies that said, we'll monitor, we'll watch, you know. Yeah, right? It until our behavior changes, until our level of awareness of what we need to do to protect ourselves, this will continue to go up because it is so profitable. You know, the analogy that I use is when I was little, I would ride in the car with my mom. My sister sat on the front seat in my lap. She was a baby. I held her on, and we didn't wear seat belts, right? That's what we did. And then if you're old enough to remember station wagons, you'd see all the kids in the back of the station wagon piled in. Nobody wore seatbelts, right? We've come a long way, and now we know, you know, if I see somebody with their baby in the front seat, I'm calling the police, right? And so it's just that we realize the dangers and the things that can happen, and so we've changed our behavior culturally. We're more aware. I think technology has just moved at a pace that we have not been able to keep up. And it continues to move at a pace that we haven't been able to keep up. And where cybersecurity, which is just human security, how do we protect ourselves in this age when everything is connected and we're all connected and we're all online? So we even have to bring Barbie into this, right? So Mattel has always made Barbie, and released a brand new Barbie with connection to Wi-Fi, so she can talk and she can do things, and you can update, you know, her system because she's got a computer chip. Well, the not funny part of this is that someone figured out how to hack into the Barbie doll to spy on the owner and listen to the conversation. So you go out and you buy a Barbie doll for your granddaughter or your daughter and think nothing of it. Some pedophile is on the other side thinking, whoa. And we've already seen that. Like with Miss Teen USA and lots of young girls, they've turned on their laptops in their rooms and filmed them and then blackmailed them. You know, and this, unfortunately, is the dark side of the web. You know, it allows us to share and communicate and talk to people all over the world, but it also comes with this. For a business specifically, I was listening to Tom Handel on the law on the radio, and this friend of a friend called in and said, I'm calling to find out who I can sue. I love those questions. Who can I sue? And Tom said, you know, what's the issue? And they said, my friend had a business and the FBI came in and took all of her equipment. Just swooped in. She was done. All her laptops, all her computers, she was done. Come to find out, she had a Wi-Fi connection in her business and it wasn't secured properly. And a pedophile pulled up to her business and was using her network as part of the pedophile ring. So when the FBI went looking, they found, of course, her IP, her, and they come in and they take everything because it looks like it's her. And, you know, he was saying, well, who can I sue because she's, you know, she's lost her business. So there's no one to sue. You know, the FBI was within their rights that to crash that. And if she had nothing backed up, no plan, nothing, there's nobody to sue. And it's a sad case, but those are the days that we are living in. If I can convey one thing today is how much cybersecurity is a people business, right? Cybersecurity is comprised of three things: technology, processes, and people. Technology is like an umbrella that can cover, you know, think of like, okay, I'm going out in the rain, I've got, you know, an umbrella, but you still need clothes, you know, you still need shoes. You need other parts to be protected from the environment out there. You need processes and you need people to be aware. And so that's why I'm really glad everyone came tonight, just to have a level of awareness, to convey, communicate, and understand when you hear cybersecurity and there's a lot of, you know, jargon about firewalls and encryption and DMZs and, you know, it all sound woo, right? Unless you're a total tech geek. But for our daily lives, it's about people. It's our behavior and how we can protect ourselves. I do a lot of presentations with the FBI, and one of the things that they say is that a lot of times these criminal rings, they, of course, are not using their own computers to do this. They're using, you know, Nana's computer, you know, and loading stuff on there, and they said, you know, they'll discover something and they'll break it up and they go knock on the door and it's grandma, you know, and they know that it's just that the criminals are just using that computer because, you know, you click on something on Facebook, which is one of the biggest place for malware, hackers. It's like those like things that you're clicking on. This week I read about on Twitter, they figured out how to create a malware that's very personal to you. So it looks at who you follow, what you talk about, and then it builds a profile so that you, it will look like, you know, if you like archaeology, it's an archaeology topic. It's some article about archaeology that you're interested in. And you're clicking on it, and it's downloading that malware. You know, the thing about this is that all the technology in the world only protects you so much when it comes to cybersecurity. Of all the breaches that have happened, 92% are avoidable. 92% required human interaction. It's actually gone up now. It's actually 93, right? That you could have the best firewall, best encryption, but unless the behavior of the person, unless they're not going to click on that thing, unless they're not going to upload all the employees' emails and salary into an Excel file and email it because they think that's the CEO. And by the way, Symantec employees did that. They emailed 22,000 of their employees' information in a phishing scam. And you're like, well, isn't Symantec the security company? Yes, they are. They sell that antivirus protection, but forgot about the human security. And so it absolutely has to be part and parcel that, you know, you share that it is definitely about behavior and what we do and how we learn to protect ourselves. 78% of cybercrime is actually quite easy. If you wanted to get into the cyber criminal industry, you go on the dark web, you can put an ad, you can respond to ads, and I'll show you that a little bit later, or you can decide you're going to leverage, like you can split proceeds, you can buy malware, and then you split the proceeds that you get from that malware with the person that invented it. It is an industry. It is a business. You know, it exists. We don't see it because it's not on our internet, but it's there, and it's thriving and growing. According to the FBI, in L.A. County, and this was in March, L.A. County and I think New York were the wealthiest counties for cyber criminals. And the FBI says people are getting out of other criminal industry, like the drug business, too complicated, dangerous, very little chance you're going to be caught as a cyber criminal. And it's much more profitable. In LA County, I think in March, he said running for like the past 90 days, it was $190 million stolen, primarily from small businesses, and you'll see why in a minute, that it is an extremely lucrative industry to be in, and it's not getting any less profitable, and the only way it's going to get less profitable is for us to make it harder for criminals to just take from us with such ease, actually. It's just tremendously easy. So when you're thinking about, you know, cybersecurity and, you know, well, if I want to protect myself, how do I go about it? What do I do? You have a business. How do you protect the customer's data? You know, for small companies, it is extremely difficult to know what it is that you need to lock up, how you need to segment your data, what do you need to tell your employees. And most small companies don't even know the street value of their data. You know, your data has a street value. A social security number has a certain value, dollar value associated with it. An address has a certain dollar value associated with it. Everything about you has a dollar value associated with it, and it's sold accordingly, right? In Long Beach, a physical therapist's office, the criminals broke in and just took the server. Didn't want anything else. Lots of nice equipment in his office. They only took the server. As that's where all the data is. Healthcare information is extremely valuable. You can blackmail someone with their medical records. They'll pay ransom for it. It is very valuable. They took just the server. Unfortunately, he didn't have it backed up anywhere. Nowhere. And so he's out of business. Well, he's out of business and in trouble because healthcare data, now the fines, it's just a bad situation. And, you know, it's a struggle because it's like buying, you know, you want to buy insurance after you've had the car accident. You know, you want to call AAA and buy the AAA after you're broken down on the side of the road. But in this case, cybersecurity is planning. You have to think about your risks and what it is that you need to do in advance and look at it as that you have something of value to protect. We live in California, which is a disaster area. You know, if you're down in Long Beach and San Pedro, tsunami zones, right? If you live in Hollywood, it's a tsunami zone because all those pipes bursting under the streets and businesses are being flooded. If you live in the mountains, you've got fire, right? So how long, if your business, if you left tonight and you came back tomorrow and your building had burnt down, where's your data? How long will it take you to be up and running? How long will it take you to get your business back? Those are questions that you should know the answer to if you have a business. And if you're no longer running the business and you have children, you tell them, you ask them, if there was a disaster, how long will it take you to be back? Where's your data stored? If you have a button to push, right? If you're in law, or if you have government contracts, or if you're in financial services advisor, there's lots of compliance. The government has issued a slew of regulations. If you have a government contract, you have mandatory reporting within 72 hours if you have a data breach. There is a lot of things that you need to be abreast of to not be in violation of the contract that you have. And so that's something that most companies are not aware of. Go ahead.
When you say mandatory reporting is required within 72 hours, to whom is that reporting required to be given?
So the federal government, if you have a government contract, they have a website where you have to go and report your data breach within 72 hours. Also in the state of California, we have a privacy office. You also have mandatory reporting there as well. And that's something that I recommend that companies really have good legal representation around a breach response. So two things. Have a plan. If I am breached, who do I call first? Who do I call second? What happens? And that tends to not happen. What people do, oh, I got a breach, let me call an IT company to come in. And that's not the first response, right? And so you now are incurring some legal obligation. If you have healthcare data, that's HIPAA. If you have financial services data, there's FINRA. If you're an attorney, you have a fiduciary responsibility to protect your client information. And by the way, hackers, when it comes to law firm, if you know any lawyers, they're going in and changing the data. So you realize nothing. So imagine if you had a case, right, and you had facts and figures and information that you're basing your case on. Someone breaks in, changes the information. You go to court, or you turn over documents, and you can no longer prove that, well, how do you even explain that? You know, will you even catch it when you're sending boxes and boxes and reams of data? So that is what is happening within the legal realm. Stacy Phillips is a celebrity divorce lawyer, and she just closed her firm the other day. She said she could not keep defending it from hackers. It was just too much for her. So she now works for another law firm and gave up her practice. For data... Sandboxing helps if you're, for example, let's say you have a company and your financial data is segregated from, you know, your HR data. Well, that gives you some protection. And what I recommend is that as a business, if you do anything to protect yourself, it makes you less likely because there's so many companies that don't protect themselves. Hackers are going to waste a lot of time on you because the market really is like, if I'm going to take 5 minutes to spend on you when I can spend 30 seconds on hacking into somebody else, I'm going to go do the 30 seconds. And so, yes, you want to have a segregation of your data so that, you know, if someone breaks into your company, you do, it's not just your entire network just open and they're just taking. And so whether it's compliance, whether, you know, it's for your own personal safety or making sure that we live in a disaster zone, that you have an emergency plan, this is something that, yes, you know, there are challenges, but there are solutions that you can implement in order to mitigate, you know, all of this. Did I see another? Go ahead. Exactly. And how do you prove that it was changed, right? Because these are the documents, right? And now everything's electronic. Right? So unless you had a paper that's bad, but in the insurance industry, what they change are the calculations. You know, so if you think about it with stocks, right? You can go in and change the calculations or currency. You go in and change the calculations. So there's money to be made in every arena. Yes. Absolutely. So, as I said earlier, when it comes to cybersecurity, human security is everything. People are the problem and people are the solutions. We all have cell phones. We all have apps. Do we know the security of the apps on our phone? You know, because when we download and it says they want permission to read this, whatever, we just click and keep going because we want to play that game or whatever. What I recommend is that if you have anything business related, you do not connect it to the, you know, your, don't let your kids play games on your business computer. You know, don't let them download freeware and shareware and, you know, that's lovely, but you have to segregate your information from theirs to have a level of protection, to make sure you clean your browser, to make sure you clean your PC, just little things that you can do. Make sure you have up-to-date software that, you know, if you have an antivirus, if you have malware bytes, that it's up-to-date. Because some people install something and they never update it. I'm like, well, viruses are released every day. You've got to update your software to protect you as much as possible against them. 80% of apps are unsecured, right? And employees, especially if you are using, you know, your cell phone for work or tablet for work and you have apps on there, those are absolutely unsecured applications that have access to your business data. And 80% of employees are using, well, really 100% of employees, if you're using your phone for work. And also from a non-external perspective, but an internal perspective, you're looking at also internal threats, right? You have a salesperson. That salesperson has access to your customer database, your customer list. And you know, and I know that people that have left companies and opened up across the street or down the street or in the next town and taken all your business. You know, there is a solution and a way to actually prevent that, to be able to wipe that device if they use their device, but you can take your data off of it if they leave. But these are things that you have to do proactively. It's like, how, when they have the apps, you can find your phone, and this happened to me. I dropped my phone somewhere, and I was like, oh my gosh. And then Sprint said, well, you had to have bought the app and installed it first before we find your phone. We can't find your phone using the app now, right? So everything is about being proactive and what your behavior is ahead of time rather than the, you know, horse has left the barn. So one of the things that, you know, when I talk to businesses and companies, it doesn't seem real, and a lot of companies are like, I'm small, nobody, you know, I don't have anything to steal, I don't have anything anybody wants. Everything has value. So this is one page of the data breach reporting from 2015. And if you're bored and have nothing to do, you can Google and go to the Attorney General's office. And on the website there, you can see all of the companies in California as of today that has experienced a breach, how many records they've lost because they've had to report, and you'll also see all the fines that they have occurred. Some of them didn't report and then got caught, and so the Attorney General levies an even greater fine for not reporting. But it's like a who's who. I use this list specifically because some of the names you know, Hello Kitty, Landry's Corner Bakery, Safeway, but Uncle Mario's Pizza Joint lost 972 records. One of the things you'll notice on there, it says unknown, 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 unknown. They have no idea how many records were stolen. Yes, they broke into our system. We don't know exactly what they took or how much they took, right? And so you'll see that Brenner McDonough Tortellini looks like either a law firm or CPA. Right? We know Safeway, Corner Bakery, Laundries, Dungarees, Hello Kitty, you know, Horizon Line, Hyatt, the voter registration database, right? And SAS Safety. One page, this report is hundreds of pages. You can find it online as well. So there, hackers don't discriminate. It's about money. It's about your data. So if I had went into the pizza joint the day before and said, you know what, you're a risk. you're at risk. You know, hackers, I'm sure they'd look around and go, I got some flour, I got some pizza dough, I got some pans, I got an oven, I got a register. Right? They wouldn't believe that there was anything that they needed to do to protect themselves. But just so that we understand, 972 records, an average cost to remediate, which most businesses can't afford, is the fines behind those 972 records. So most small businesses that are breached go out of business. In LA County, and I was stunned to hear this, and this is FBI, 84% of the businesses that are breached in LA County do not recover. 84%. Even if you have your data and you're able to get your data back, how do you pay the fines? Can the pizza joint afford $300,000, $500,000 in fines? And it's not just the government. MasterCard, Visa, they also are going to penalize you. They're also going to fine you because they have to send out new cards. So they're passing the cost back. You know, you lost 972 credit cards. So Visa, MasterCard, Discover, they level a penalty against this company. Well, you know, I don't have $500,000. I don't have $1 million. Forget it. You know? So it is something that impacts from the smallest one person, two person, three person firm to the 300,000 employee firm. We are, no one is immune, as you can see from this list. No one's immune. So I mentioned earlier about, you know, we live in LA. We've got wildfires. We've got floods in odd places, and we've got earthquakes. And we have to have a mindset of protection first, planning first, having a jump bag. Just like they make sure you have an earthquake bag, have a breach bag. You know, what happens? Who do you call? What tools do you have to make sure that you can recover, you know, no matter what comes, whether it's something external, whether it's an act of God, act of nature, that you have a plan in place. So one of the things that people say, well, this sounds good, but I don't know. I don't really have anything. I haven't noticed anything. I don't think I've been hacked. I would know if I've been hacked. And actually, you would not, because the hacker does not want you to know you've been hacked. They want to sit in your system and continue to steal your data day after day, week after week. Every time you add a new customer, they get you something to sell. You add a new customer, they get something new to sell. So they do not want you to know. The longest presence for a hacker to be in a system stealing data is 2,287 days. 229 days. It's almost a year before people are realizing that they've been breached. And they generally do not find out on their own that they've been breached, right? So 67%, it's because something has happened, whether it's the Department of Justice, Homeland Security, that you're getting a notification from somewhere, or customers start calling because something is awry. But hackers work on, I'm going to get in, I'm going to sit there and steal. They don't want you to know. And one of the things that when you discover a breach, and if you have a firm, they will tend to protect whoever it was that allowed the breach. They don't want you to know who the weak link in the chain is. So you won't necessarily know that Sally is the one who clicked on something and downloaded it. They make sure, because, hey, they want to come back again. They know Sally likes cat videos on Facebook. So they know she, at lunch break, she's on Facebook with the cat videos. You can do what you need to do, but as long as Sally's going to go on Facebook at work, you'll be breached again. So I thought this was funny in a geeky kind of way. So the Senate passed a bill, SB 1137, for...
Can we take a 10-minute break in a couple of minutes?
Sure, absolutely. SB 37 for ransomware protection, and the hackers went and locked up the website. So they are paying attention to what is going on. You know, so this is all, all of our software has been encrypted, but they locked down the Senate's website. And I was just like, they're paying attention. They know what laws are being passed. And they just did it. It was just like, we're going to show you. You can pass all the laws you want. And we know with the Hollywood hospitals, they paid, police departments pay ransom. Everybody, you know, pays ransom. So we can take a break after this. The biggest thing right now is how to use your computer to just robberies for stick-ups. And, you know, after break, show you how profitable that is. So the title that we see here says Cyber Heist. And as I mentioned, Cyber Heist is the ransomware that we saw with the hospitals, police departments, It's just prevalent. There's a reason why it is such a worthy endeavor for criminals to target businesses. So this is just a small list of companies that were cyber heisted. So Experimental, they, in 47 transactions, they don't just go in and take $1 million. They bundle, they hit your bank account, and they bundle transactions, and they move them very quickly. So they bundled up the $1.9 million into 47 transactions and shipped them out, right? Luna and Luna, they make mannequins in New York, $1.6 million. 1.2, Ascent Builders, $900,000. And these are, you know, small businesses. Hillary Machinery, and I'll use them as an example, they lost $801,000. So now you're wondering, okay, so I lost $1 million. I'm going to call the bank. I'm going to get it back because I'm only liable for $50, right? We know that if we lose our card, we're only liable for $50. That is accurate for your personal checking account. That is not accurate for your business checking account. Business checking accounts are not governed by the same laws that your personal checking account is. So there's no such protection for your business checking account. Experimental lost that $1 million, and every company on here, that money was gone. They did not get that money back. And then this happened. Plains Capital, Experimental also got sued, but Plains Capital got sued. Plains Capital sued Hillary Machinery. So Hillary Machinery lost $800,000, and then their bank sued them. And their bank sued them because the bank said, you allowed a hacker into our system. Due to your lack of security, you allowed our systems to be breached. And we're not paying any fines. So they turned right around and sued Hillary Machinery, which is fairly typical for banks to, if you've been breached through your business checking account, to then turn around and sue you, right? So you're sued. Remember earlier I said you're also fined, right? So you are a pizza shop or you're a retail store and you take credit cards all day. That breach causes MasterCard or Visa to also sue you, right? And levy fines against you. So you have credit card companies suing you, you have the mandatory fines that the government assesses against you, and you see because of that why small businesses can't survive a data breach. Go ahead. Yes. Yeah, you're bankrupt. It is so quick and happens so often that, you know, people don't realize that, oh, okay, so even if I'm, you know, I got hacked, but they don't realize or are aware of the repercussions. What are the other agencies and the other institutions that are going to come after you now, right? So you get fined, and people say, well, you know what? I'm going to get some insurance. There's a lot of cybersecurity insurance. I'm going to go buy some. We all know this company, P.F. Chang's, right? P.F. Chang's had a data breach, and they bought cyber insurance. They got a data breach, and the policy, they lost 60,000 credit card numbers, so one of the fines assessed to them is $2 million from MasterCard. And they were like, wait a minute, you know, federal insurance, you have to pay this. And federal insurance was like, no, we ain't paying that. Mm-mm. So P.F. Chang has money. They took federal insurance to court and lost. As the judge says, you've got to read what's in your policy. You've got to know exactly what your cyber insurance policy covers and what it does not. And just because a broker says this is cybersecurity insurance, you have to know and go through that policy and make sure that you're aware. Okay, so what about credit card fees? What about federal fines? What about state fines? That you do your due diligence, or else all you did was pay that premium and you're still bankrupt, right? I've seen a lot of different policies. I think it's a buyer beware market, right? One of the things that I say to companies, if you're going to go buy an insurance policy, make sure that you have some cybersecurity plan in place before you buy the insurance. Do your due diligence. Make sure that you know where your data is. Get a risk assessment. You know, get backup. Have everything in place to protect yourself, because one of the things that the insurance companies do now is you buy the policy and you have a data breach, but you didn't do any of the work that you should, and the insurance company denies it and said, well, you know, you didn't do anything to protect yourself from getting breached, so we're not going to pay. Bitcoin, right? So We all recognize this brand, and this is two Christmases ago, massive data breach. Last time I looked, Target was up to $300 million in fines and 10,000 lawsuits, right, for that one data breach. And so we all read the story. We all heard about Target being breached. Well, Target did not get breached. Fazio Mechanical got breached. Fazio Mechanical in Sharpsburg, Pennsylvania, this beautiful little town, was their air conditioning guy. So he took care of the air conditioning at the local Target. He had about 6 employees. I'm sure he was happy he got the Target contract in his little town to take care of that. Well, the hackers were looking for a way to get into Target, and they just swooped around and said, here he is. And they went right into his system because he had a home version of Malwarebytes on his computer, and that was it. Nothing else. No security. Now, he did have locks and, you know, alarms and everything on the door, but nothing on the computer. And they went in, and we all heard what happened, but Target itself didn't get hacked. It had the best technology. It had the best this and that. Fazio Mechanical got hacked, and they went straight into, into Target, and of course, poor Fazio Mechanical. So as a small business, even when you go, well, you know, I don't have anything to steal, I'm sure he looked around and said, you know, there's nothing here to steal. Who are you connected to? Who's your client? You know, who are you a vendor for? You know, that's what people are looking to go into small businesses, yes, take from you, but if you don't have anything that they're like, okay, you know, nothing really here, who are you connected to? And we're all connected to each other. And so if you have no defenses, you know, what next? You know, so said all this, you know, all this, the horror stories, you know, what can you do as a small business? I'm talking from the perspective of small businesses. How do you protect yourself? You know, the large corporations, Microsoft has thousands of people and billions of dollars for cybersecurity, right? What can you do as a small business? I'm a geek. I love this movie. What I say is, you know, you have to deploy some solutions to protect your company, your business, you know, and even earlier with Barbie, like think about what's in your home and how do you protect yourself, right? So the first thing I want you to do is think like a cyber criminal. This is an actual ad on the dark web. You notice the English part? Wire transfer ACH, because those are business accounts. So this is an actual ad looking for someone in the United States to act as a conduit to steal money from your business account. This is a real ad. Notice the language it's written in. Right? And so it is certainly what people are doing. And when I say to think like a cyber criminal, my goal here is to just raise your awareness of what's out there. What are the threats? You know, what is happening and how abreast that cyber criminals are of what's going on the legal side. Just like when the law passed, they hacked the website. So it's just having a consciousness about this and the technology that we have. So the first thing is to think like a cyber criminal. Be aware and know the value of your information. Know what you have, right? And what you need to work on. If you've never done an inventory of your business data, what's in your company, who's your customers, from internal and external threats, you know exactly what you have. It allows you to be able to restart your business much quicker in case of a disaster, whether it's natural or, you know, some sort of criminal enterprise. But you must have a risk assessment. You must have an inventory. You know, we do that at home. We mark, you know, okay, this is the kitchen, this is the living room. We know that we do those things in our daily lives. Same thing here for your business. Make sure that you have a risk assessment. Make sure that you have a plan. Right? So cybersecurity is ongoing protection. It's how you conduct your business, how you live daily. To have a plan that, okay, this month this is what we're doing, in 3 months this is what we're going to do, in 9 months this is what we're going to do, so that you always have a plan, and also that it becomes part of your work culture, that your employees are aware that it's not something that an auditor comes in once a year and do something and then everybody goes back to doing what it is that they do every other day, that your employees understand that your data needs to be protected, that there are threats externally and internally, and that this becomes part and parcel of your culture. I talked about technology in terms of building a solid, you know, whether it's an umbrella or build a fence around your company to have, whether it's, you know, Observe IT is internal security, to monitor the behaviors of people inside your company. What are they doing on your network? You know, because this has happened, you know, people are downloading all kinds of stuff that are illegal inside your company. You want to know what those behaviors are. Right? It is imperative that for your business that you scale solutions for your business, that you don't just go out and buy something because you heard about it, that it has to be customized for your company. The human weakness factor is training. You must train your employees. It can't be the IT guy. The IT guy cannot lock down an entire company. They can install technology, they can, you know, have some processes in place, but every single employee needs to be aware of what the threats are and that training is available for them. With training, you have to have, as I said, you have a plan, you have goals, you must measure. How are you secure today? How are you secure tomorrow? And where are you a year from now? So it's ongoing, it's continuous, it's not something that you just do today and, you know, I heard a thing about cybersecurity, so tomorrow we're going to do this. It's part and parcel. The technology evolves, we evolve along with it and our behaviors, right? So why you came today? For a variety of reasons. Some people are curious, I heard there was a topic, you know, some people may have had a data breach that you've either paid ransomware or your computers or systems are acting funny. You know, you may have a wonderful security plan and you just came kind of curious. Maybe there's something I can learn to make sure that, you know, my system is better. Or you're like, I don't know what the cybersecurity thing is, so I'm just going to go and hear, you know, what I can learn, you know, in 2 hours. So you and someone asked me on break, you know, so you've now scared us and terrified us of what's happening on the dark web and we're being robbed, you know, what can you do? And so at Bluefields, we have a shield defense system, right? It's just a plan and a program for small businesses to help them protect themselves. And it's customized based on your needs and what are the things that you need on the technology side, on the processes side, helping you with the documentation, making sure that, you know what your incident response plan is, you know who to report to. And so being basically, as I said earlier, to make sure that you're defended and protected as much as possible. So SHIELD is steps to help eliminate enterprise loss and disruption. It's our program for working specifically with small businesses. So there's slow and fast, easy and hard, right? So go ahead. So if you wanted to be a cyber criminal tonight, you could go home and Google, how do I get on the dark web? The instructions are there. Really? How to get on the dark web. I'll give you the... So it's basically the internet, but the internet that Google doesn't track. Right? So you can get on it. The instructions are on Google. It's just that Google doesn't index those sites. So you can't go www, but... It's there. and people, that's why I said earlier, people barter. They place ads. You can place an ad. You can go buy a malware and split it with someone. So you're a baby criminal. You're like, I don't know how to write code, but I want to get in on this. You go on the dark web. You say, hey, I'll buy your malware for $20 and I'll split everything that I make with you. And they go, here. it's easy, and it's hard because they use Ukrainian servers or Russian servers, and so by the time we get no cooperation from Russia, right? If you have the FBI come in and speak, they're like, still waiting 8 years for a response from Russia on cybersecurity cases. Russia is not offering any help, and everybody knows that. So places in the Ukraine and Russia, that's where everything is shipped to, sent to, operated from, and, it is what it is. But, yeah. we work with companies, whether... if you want to go the slow way, to get into cybersecurity, or whether you want to get to the fast way, we certainly will work with you. We prefer the fast because it is just too much of a risk, and you're out there. A, you may already be infected and don't even know it. And by the way, Target didn't discover that they were breached. The Department of Justice did. And the Department of Justice noticed that a bunch of transactions were going to Russia. Millions and millions of transactions were going to Russia. I don't recommend the slow way, but it's like anything with decision making. Some people are like, well, I'll do it next week. And, some people are like, listen, this is something I want to make sure that my business is protected, and, what can I do and to get started to be on the right path. So it's a choice. So we have a mini risk assessment or a full assessment or, monthly services, which is basically a security alert, as well as, Microsoft technology. I mentioned earlier with the devices, the mobility suite to protect you if your employee leaves. That way your data doesn't leave on their mobile devices. So, a mini assessment. It has a 30-day free trial for Enterprise Mobility Suite. That's the software I mentioned for protecting the mobile devices. You get 8 hours of employee training along with it, so that kind of some of the things that I've been talking about tonight, like we actually come in and we'll train your employees and help them with whatever technology that you're procuring, and basically give them some cybersecurity basics so that they're up to speed. And that also includes a mini assessment where we sit down with you and do an inventory of your data to make sure where we know where everything is, see what your threats are, and actually put a plan together. The full assessment, of course, that's based because it's very intensive based on number of seats. It's just much more complicated, where we do a questionnaire in advance and then, you know, produce a price quote for you. We also have ongoing training available. That is subsidized by the state of California, so that we provide cybersecurity training for all your employees for a space of 2 years, up to 200 hours per employee. And it's $27.95, and all the other costs are covered by the state. And that's because the threat is so great to the economy here in California that they have underwritten this program so that we can provide these services, you know, for very little to companies. And the $350 monthly is security as a service. So maybe you have an IT person that you're working with, but they're your break fix. They call, you know, if your email isn't working, et cetera. This is security as alert. We put that umbrella around to monitor your systems for any kind of breaches and notifying you and helping you with incident responses. So, offer good until Friday. And so, if anyone here is interested in working with us, by all means, you know, when we break, I'd be happy to make an appointment to go through and meet with you about, you know, whichever one of these services that you're interested in. And I thank you very much for your time tonight.
Okay.